with troops entering the city of its second largest city, Khan Yunis. Israel spokesperson Ilan Levy described that campaign.
Talking not only about aerial bombardments, but close quarter fighting in which our troops are engaging terrorists who are emerging from tunnels and buildings.
It's some of the heaviest fighting in Gaza since this war started. CBS's Chris Lipsey tells us, meantime, families of hostages met earlier today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
We've been speaking to the loved ones of hostages, parents of hostages, and they tell us that, you know, with the breakdown of that ceasefire and the breakdown of negotiations, it fills them with anguish.
On Capitol Hill, college leaders are addressing a rise in anti-Semitism on campuses because of the war. Liz McGill's with the University of Pennsylvania.
History teaches us that where anti-Semitism goes unchecked, other forms of hate spread and ultimately can threaten democracy.
She says the school is investigating all allegations. The White House has repeated its call to get more funding to both Israel and Ukraine. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
While Republican leadership understands there's a need to provide that money, they're trying to extract some concessions from the White House regarding border security, arguing that that is an urgent and far closer national security priority and something that Congress needs to finally sort out, at least in part.
The FBI director's also making a plea to Congress to renew its global surveillance power.
Christopher Wray says Congress must renew the authority of the U.S. government to conduct warrantless surveillance outside the United States.
702 allows us to stay a step ahead of foreign actors who pose a threat to national security.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is set to expire at the end of this month.
That's CBS's Stacey Lynn. A massive home explosion this morning in Virginia. Arlington police say cops were trying to serve a search warrant after getting reports of shots fired in the area when the house blew up. Bob Maines lives nearby.
Well, I was sitting in my living room watching television and the whole house shook from the sound concussion. It wasn't an earthquake kind of tremor, but the whole house shook.
It's still unclear what caused that blast, but no officers were seriously hurt. It'll be another little while before Stephen Colbert comes back to work. The Late Show host has canceled another week of shows after having his appendix removed. He posted on Threads last night that he is listening to doctor's advice and will continue to rest and heal. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project. Find plumb, level, and 45 degrees quickly with a Johnson Levels Magnetic Torpedo Level. It's durable, easy to read, and glows in the dark, ensuring accurate results in both bright and low light areas. Get precise and efficient measurements with a 9-inch Magnetic Torpedo Level for just $6.98 after $9 mail-in rebate. Prices are good through December 11th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Three federal departments are asking for public feedback on their national strategy to reduce food loss and waste in the U.S. The Food and Drug Administration, Department of Agriculture, and the Environmental Protection Agency are working to reduce food loss and waste by 50% by 2030. This strategy will not only prevent loss and waste of food where possible, it will also increase the recycling rate of organic waste to remove it from landfills. These efforts will increase food access for food insecure, create new jobs, and help households save money. Over 9% of people living in Wood County are food insecure. That's more than 6,600 people. The public comment on the FDA strategy opens today at regulation.gov. The Portage County Sheriff's Office is offering an in-person snowmobile safety course that starts on December 12th. You can register at gowild.wi.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 21 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 38 tomorrow, cloudy. 28 tomorrow night, mainly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 5th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. Thanks so much for joining us. In part two today at 3:30, we're going to talk with Reverend Beth Habhager from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, talk a little bit about their Blue Christmas services and some other things that they have going on over there. Right now, joining us on the phone, our friend Caitlin Riley Kelser from the Wisconsin Beef Council. Caitlin, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You know, it snowed down here in the southern corner of the state, so it's really starting to feel a lot like Christmas.
Really getting into the holiday season. Caitlin, beef is a big part of the holiday season, and you guys know that better than most over there. I want to get into that and some other things with you, but before we do, it's been a while since you joined us, Caitlin. How have things been? How are things going with the Beef Council?
They're going great. You know, every season, every holiday for us is an excuse to talk about beef, but also more importantly about the hard work and dedication of our beef farmers and ranchers. You know, I mentioned just a minute or so ago that it's snowing down here, and whether it's summertime, spring, or snowing, they're always out there tending to and caring for those animals. And we see that dedication go through time and time again. With the Beef Council, we're always embarking on new projects, looking ahead to 2024, new partnerships and ways to continue our outreach in promoting beef in a way that's sustainable for future generations. And it's just always a pleasure to be able to share not only the great flavor and taste, but the great stories that go behind this product.
You know, Caitlin, when it comes to what you guys do there, if we could just address real quickly kind of the mission of the Beef Council.
Yeah, so our mission is to drive demand for beef that is sustainable for future generations, and we're funded by our Wisconsin beef farmers and ranchers. Often, when I tell people what I do for a living, I start off with by asking them, have you heard of the phrase beef? It's what's for dinner. And a lot of times people might, you know, joke or laugh like you just did and recall Sam Elliott. But that's a large part of our brand on the national level through one of our national contractors. And what happens is, you know, every time a farmer sells a bovine, so whether it's a dairy cow, a beef cow, a calf, we collect a dollar and we invest half that dollar here in the state into promotion, education, and outreach, and the other half of that dollar goes nationally, and it's also invested into those programs and also into research as we're continuously trying to figure out better ways that we can provide this product for our consumers. And so, you know, a lot of times Wisconsin Beef Council may not roll off the tongue as easily as beef it's what's for dinner, but as long as they're thinking about beef, then we're pretty happy.
Agreed. I am, you know, I should journalistically mention that I am a carnivore. I love beef. It is the majority of my weight. Big fan, but even bigger fan. As much as I love beef, I'm an even bigger fan of our ag industry, of our farmers out there. And while we get to talk recipes and so many great things about this, it all comes back to that. And I appreciate that out of the Beef Council, giving us an opportunity to, you know, shout out to our farmers and to give thanks to them, especially this time of year.
Absolutely. And, you know, as people are starting to look for those recipes, and like you said, it's a hand-in-hand connection between our farmer stories and the recipes you're cooking for those holidays. We do have a website, beeftips.com. So beef tips, like you're looking for guidance. And we have some of those stories on that website of our farmers. I know we have new census data that's going to be coming out, I think, in this next summer. But right now, our current census data shows that we have almost 28,000 farmers in Wisconsin that have cattle and calves, and that's just incredible. And I'm sure anyone, when they're traveling, they see that. You know, they see our livestock out in pasture. They see some of those barns that are sheltering the animals, and it's a huge part of our state's culture and economy.
First off, I love a good play on words, and beeftips.com is just incredibly well done. Nice work. That's really good. I want to get into some of those things with you, Caitlin, if we have time, but I really want to take the center of our time on this new guide that you guys put out. You have an enhancing school food service assets with the Beef Resources Guide. This is something new that came out. Can we talk about this?
Absolutely. So this is an initiative that came out of the COVID-19 pandemic. We had some schools reaching out to us and even some farming families reaching out to us saying that their kids are coming home and there's not beef on their lunch trays, and there was some sort of hiccup in the supply chain with these commodity beef products, and these schools weren't able to get them, and they wanted help because they recognized that this is a great protein for fueling young bodies and minds. And so the Beef Council kind of put our heads together, and one of my coworkers, Grace Link, she's our Director of Compliance and Producer Outreach, she really spearheaded this campaign and worked with the Department of Public Instruction, worked with our local food service groups and schools, and worked with our farmers to see if we could come up with a guide to help them bridge that gap if this would ever happen again. So what this Beef Resource Guide does is it covers working with a raw product, because not all school districts do that. You know, they have the pre-browned beef crumbles or some of those patties already pre-made. And so this guide walks them through being able to work with that raw product and even getting to the basics of knowing how to speak the jargon among meat processors. You know, how do I say that I want to order these roasts or this many packages of ground? And so it goes into the terminology, the food safety. And then I think what's incredibly important for the school food service staff is the recipes and also the crediting that they have to make sure that they are in line with their requirements as a school food service. And so this has been great for us, for getting our farmers access to the school districts, giving the school districts new and fresh avenues to create those connections. And I was just chatting with one of those farmers who does this in Southwest Wisconsin yesterday, and she says that she absolutely loves and appreciates it. And oftentimes, this sparks continued conversations with those students and with the school district, and they might even invite the farmers who are providing their beef into the classrooms to speak with those students about how it's raised and grown. And so it's really been a great partnership, and we're excited to see this guide extended not just in Wisconsin, but also nationally with our partner beef councils. You know, in Wisconsin, we're one of 44 state beef councils, so perhaps there's school districts in Minnesota, Iowa, and some of our other neighboring states that are utilizing this guide as well.
You know, Caitlin, I do a lot of research. I prepare a lot for all these interviews that we do every week. And in my research, I discovered that children are the future. This is awesome. This is really cool. I'm glad to know this. I hope other people do. I say that tongue in cheek. Of course, they are the future.
Yes.
But it all adds up. We've seen test scores. We've seen different things go down in recent years. And we all understand that the greatest fuel for our bodies, the greatest thing for learning is eating well, is having a proper diet in these things. The better this, the better we are helping our school nutrition programs and adding to that, the better we are making our future. Like, this all adds up. It's not rocket science. It all connects. It all ties together. This is a great program just in general for kids. But that part of it was the first thing that hit me was, man, this seems like a great thing for kids. It's going to give them more energy and help them learn better.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to find a substitute for a product like that, that a single ingredient product, you know, beef, the only thing on the label there, and it gives you that protein to keep you full and fueled. It's got zinc, iron, choline, phosphorus, B vitamins, you know, so many things to help their minds grow and develop and also help their bodies continue growing and developing as well.
And, you know, that is, you know, I think number one on the list of positives with this. But I also think, you know, there's never a bad time to create a little more empathy in our youth and them knowing more about these things and understanding the farming industry, the ag industry a little bit more. That goes a long way with them, not just maybe sparking an interest and wanting to get into the ag industry. We need more farmers. We need more people in that industry. But even if it doesn't do that, creating a lifetime of empathy, of understanding how important that this part of our life, our world is.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, getting them considering careers in the beef industry. And maybe they won't be a farmer, or maybe they won't be a processor, but there's a Meat Pathways guide that's available on the Department of Agriculture's website. And it really links that connection that we all truly have to the meat industry. You know, some of these kiddos at home, they might have pets. and maybe they have that empathy of caring for their own animals, and so they can understand a farmer's ability to care for his or her animals. And you know what? Those pets, just like we do, need protein in their diets, and that pet food that they're buying in the grocery store can correlate back to the beef industry in the same way that the food that we eat can correlate back to the beef industry. And it's just amazing when you truly sit down and think about your life and the products that we use each and every day, how it could ties right back to our farmers.
You know, when I was a kid, growing up in South Chicago, everywhere around there, you've got, you've got a Greek restaurant that's got the lamb meat right out front and you're taking it off. You've got the deli on the side, having all kinds of different meats and everything. And I grew up around all this stuff and appreciating all these products. It wasn't until I moved to Wisconsin and my grandparents took me to a friend of theirs farm. And I got there and I started to see the way they worked with the cows, how they were to them, how they were with the other animals, all these different things. I was, I think, in sixth, seventh grade when that happened. My whole life now, since then, I've had this, I can't buy some ground beef and not think about it, not think about the people that, the cow that came from, the farm it probably came from, and these things. That's just me. I can't imagine how that does for a kid, especially that grows up in this state or grows up around these things. The sparks that it can create, I don't think we can really even put into words.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And not to keep directing it to different guides and things that we have on our websites, but, you know, one of those too, you talked about, you know, being able to see the farm firsthand. We have a local beef directory on that website that you love, beeftips.com. And on there, so we're listing our farmers who do choose to sell their beef directly to the consumer. And what I really appreciate about it, though, is that we're also linking out to their social media, because maybe these folks don't have grandma and grandpa, mom and dad who have a farm anymore, but we all have the ability to feel like we're part of the farm at the touch of a button. And so maybe you see a farm in your area that's selling beef that you weren't aware of. You can start by following them on Instagram or following them on Facebook, because oftentimes they are sharing that story. And in addition to sharing the products that they sell, and right now too, the holiday season, I know I have someone on my shopping list that I have no idea what to purchase for. Unfortunately, he's a beef farmer, so I can't go with my go-to getting him some beef. But if that is something that you are considering, you know, turn to that local beef directory. We at the Wisconsin Beef Council, we also have the ability for you to purchase a beef gift certificate. It's essentially like a cashier's check that can be redeemed at a meat processor or at a restaurant that sells beef, you know, and anyone who would accept checks, that could be used for as well. So I appreciate that guide. And I think one of the favorite parts of my job is when farmers submit to be listed on the guide. It's a free listing, because it gives me the excuse and the opportunity to dive into their stories on their social media pages and on their websites.
We are speaking with Caitlin Riley Kelser from the Wisconsin Beef Council. And Caitlin, I'm really glad you brought this up. There's a handful of things that I think make your website incredible. It's one of the better ones I've come across in this job. And one of the things I love about it, there's a bunch of stuff we'll get into, but there's two key things I wanted to make sure we touched on in this half an hour. And you already got to one of them. You set me up. The Wisconsin Local Beef Directory. Wherever you are listening to us in this state, you can find a beef directory near you. And if not near you, at least one that you want to, you know, purchase things from, support. And as cool as that is, I do think it's very cool for if you're a beef farmer out there listening to this and you're not on the directory, reach out to them. There's a link right there for you to be able to do it. Just go to beeftips.com, and on their banners that fly across, you will find that banner, be able to click on it and go right to them. And Caitlin, this doesn't seem like a difficult process to be on this directory.
No, we just need some basic contact information from you, and you choose what information we put out there. You know, if you have a store on the farm and you want people to know that address, we'll list it. If you want to say, hey, you know what, I want my address to be hidden for now until I establish a relationship via email or phone call, that's fine too. This is the Beef Council trying to help our farmers out there promote their products and their services, and we really want to customize it to the needs of each and every one of them out there.
It's pretty cool too to have those links where you go right to their website, and that's a really nice added touch to it.
Oh yeah, and like I said, I've used this as an excuse to go down a rabbit hole and really get the chance to see some of those different avenues that are out there and check out the different listings that we have.
And to those cattlemen out there that might go on there to be a part of the directory, encourage you to also check that out and bookmark this too, because you have a cattleman's corner, which is a great place, I imagine, for other farmers, other cattle people to be able to, you know, convene, share information, share ideas.
Yes, and like I said, we're funded by our beef farmers and ranchers, and that Cattleman's Corner is a great place for them to go to see how their dollar is being spent, how it's being stretched in the state of Wisconsin. And like you said, it's also some of that exchange of ideas, exchange of programming that we have there. And we also have a listing of upcoming events. We have so many of our farmers who want to continuously improve. They're willing to embrace the latest and greatest technology. They're willing to participate in voluntary programs like Beef Quality Assurance, where they can learn the best animal care practices and techniques. And so often they say, hey, I want to participate. I don't know where to learn more. I don't know how to find a listing of these. So that same website, we have some of those programs on there where our farmers can continue that education.
Yeah, it's a fantastic website for not only the information that you can find there, but the connections that can be made. And one of the things that I have been blown away by in doing this job and talking with people in the ag industry is the connection of technology and the ag industry, and how much they are intertwined now, and how much the ag industry has embraced technology. I find that we could spend hours just talking about that, Caitlin. It's fascinating.
Oh, it is. I mean, December 5th, World Soil Health Day. Just before we got on the phone, James, I posted a reel of one of our farmers who raises Holstein steers. You know, dairy contributes about 20% of the beef in the nation, and he's a big part of that. And that's what he talks about, is how they're using technology when they're planting the crops to feed their animals, to be able to be more precise in their applications and in their harvest, and making sure that the soil stays right there where it needs to be in their fields.
Caitlin, do me a favor. Don't tell my mom this. This is just between you and I, but the greatest cook I ever knew was my Nana, my grandmother. And she just loved to put beef in almost anything. And one of the things, she used to call it flexible. She used to call it a flexible thing. And it is one of the things we love about beef, the versatility of it, especially as the holiday season comes about. And you guys got a bunch of great holiday recipes for beef on your website.
We do. So if you go right to beeftips.com, I think one of the first banners that you'll see is our As Seen on TV page. Some of you may be familiar with our beef lady, Angie Horkin. She travels around to various television stations featuring topical beef recipes. Right now, of course, we're talking prime rib. Mm-hmm. It's really the center of the plate during the holiday season. And be looking at your local grocery store flyers, because often stores recognize that this is a product that they want to run on sale. But maybe you're not having a large gathering, and a prime rib might be a little bit too much for you. We also have recipes on there for some of the smaller gatherings, like individual beef Wellingtons. It's another fun way and a twist on a classic recipe without having that larger platter there. If you scroll back a little bit further, we have some of our Thanksgiving Day recipes on there as well that can definitely be repurposed for Christmas, because I know during the holidays, stuffing is a staple throughout. So we have beef stuffing with apples and cranberries on there. We have a beef sausage and artichoke bread pudding. And I will admit, I am not a cook, James. When we're in the office, I let Angie do all the cooking. I press the record button. But there is one holiday dish that even I am qualified to make, and that is our beefy cheese and artichoke dip.
Mm.
So you basically take a classic spinach artichoke dip recipe, and you add in there some cooked pot roast. And what I love about it is it could be leftover pot roast. So maybe once again, you know, your family gathering wasn't as large as you thought it would be, or there's a lot of leftovers. And so you just dice that up and put it right there in the dip, adds a little bit more flavor, a little bit more protein to that recipe, and it's a great holiday treat to bring.
Oh, that sounds good. Caitlin, I appreciate your honesty, and thank you for that. And I don't mean to ask a hardball question here, but that's part of my job. I have to ask hard questions sometimes. If you had to pick one of these to have somebody somebody can make it for you or something like that. And they'd have to make it for both of us, Caitlin, just for the record. Yeah. Any of these stand out to you? Any of these recipes? Like, oh, I got to try that one.
Ooh, you know, I always go for the tenderloin.
Mm-hmm.
We have some great tenderloin recipes on our website. And what I think I love about it is the most tender cut. And you can get a lesser value of the tenderloin, like maybe a select or a choice, and it's still going to be phenomenal. And so I think if anyone is willing to cook a tenderloin for me, I will be right up there with my knife and fork in hand. And if anyone wants to learn how to make a tenderloin, we're actually doing a virtual cooking class coming up next week, December 14th at 6 o'clock. It's going to be on Instagram Live, and we're going to be showing you guys how to cook that tenderloin. We did one of these a couple years ago, and I bravely decided that I was going to try it at home. I grew up on a farm, so we had a tenderloin in the freezer, and it worked.
Nice.
Something
nice
that even I could do. I was a little nervous about it, but I paid attention to our own virtual cooking class, and I must have took some nuggets home with me because it turned out well, and we hope some folks will dabble into new recipes this holiday season too.
I really mean it. I really appreciate you being so honest and vulnerable with us about the cooking part of things, because while we're talking food, and there's a lot of great chefs and cooks out there and a lot of people that love to do these things, this is even two great cooks out there. This is a great time of year, great opportunity to try some different things. And even if you haven't, you don't consider yourself a great cook, get in there and try. You get to sample these things before you serve them. So it doesn't come out right. It doesn't come out right. It's all right. I also would recommend one other thing to people, and this is only going to help the beef industry. Maybe trying some of these meals first before you get to the real show, before the curtains open.
Yes.
Maybe some rehearsal time. Maybe do a couple rehearsal runs with some of these meals and trying it out. Maybe not the whole kit and caboodle, of course, but maybe with the meal itself, you try, see how it goes, and you might have a new holiday favorite.
Absolutely. And we have a holiday roast swap guide that I think would fit perfectly with your practice run, James, mm-hmm. idea. So maybe you have the prime rib, but you're not going to make a practice run prime rib before the prime rib, or maybe the tenderloin. This roast swap guide really shows more budget-friendly versions that you could purchase and do a dry run of. Like I mentioned, that tenderloin. You could swap a tenderloin for a strip loin roast or a strip petite roast. If you're looking at a brisket, I know I've heard quite a few people that said they're smoking a brisket for Christmas this year. Maybe look at swapping it out for a chuck roast to do a practice run of the recipe before you put in that brisket in there. So I like that idea, and I'm sure your family members and friends will be very supportive of a practice run too, because I'm sure you'll have plenty of volunteers willing to try those samples.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good point there. And while we love the main course, my favorite part of Christmas has always been the holiday appetizers, the side dishes. They've got a bunch of recipes and different things there at beeftips.com as well for appetizers and side dishes. There's plenty to check out there at beeftips.com. Caitlin, as we're wrapping up here, is there anything else you wanted to touch on we didn't have a chance to?
I think we covered a lot, James.
Yeah.
I just really want to emphasize, you plug that website. Don't hesitate when you're on there. If there's something that you cannot find, hit that contact us page. Reach out to us. Ask us your questions. If you find a random piece of beef in your freezer and you want suggestions for how to use it, give us a call. Like I said, I'm not quite the cook, but I'll transfer you over to the beef lady, and she'd certainly be willing to help you out. We really want this to be open communication. We know that beef is a great part of our family heritage and tradition, and we hope it's part of your guys's as well.
Caitlin, it's always great talking with you. We got to do this sooner. We got to have you back sooner. Thank you so much for the time. If people do have follow-up questions, they'd like to contact you about something or safety tips or anything that we've talked about today, how can they get in touch with you?
They can feel free to find that contact us page. Otherwise, they can email us, wbc@beeftips.com. And they can also feel free to give us a call, 608-833-9944. We'll pick up and be happy to chat.
We appreciate you and your team over there, Caitlin, helping our ag industry, helping our farmers, and entertaining us and giving us some really, really good dishes to try and making me extremely hungry. Thank you so much for the time, Caitlin. You have a great holiday.
Thanks, James. You as well.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts,
the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober.
Or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wood County Sheriff's Department is advising people in the area to be sure and lock their vehicles while they're parked. They've caught an individual on video walking through parking lots in the area trying to open vehicles to steal valuables. The thefts are taking place mostly in Southwood County, and on several occasions, the offender broke a window on locked vehicles to steal visible items of value. If you have any information on these thefts, contact the Nacoosa or Wisconsin Rapids Police Departments or the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Keep your vehicles locked and your valuables out of sight. The Christmas show, Candle in the Window, opens this Friday at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Set in a train station where stranded travelers discover the true meaning of the season. Shows are at 7 p.m. on December 8th and 9th, 14th, 15th, and 16th, and an additional matinee performance on Saturday, December 16th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 21 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 38 tomorrow, cloudy. 28 tomorrow night, mainly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 5th, 2023. Have your host, James, here, and I am joined by our great friend of the station and all of us here in the community. Reverend Beth Habhager is with us right now from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Beth, always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. I actually just want to catch up with Beth after everybody. And she comes into the studio, and I realize, oh, I haven't talked to you in a while.
It has been a while.
I want to spend the next half an hour doing. But we got a job to do. Let's go ahead and take care of things. Before we get into Blue Christmas and some of the great activities that you guys have going on this month, do you mind if we rewind a little bit and go to the book sale? I believe you got some numbers on that.
I do. It's great to be able to share that we raised over $3,500 at the book sale this year. So thank you all for coming out and supporting by giving books and by coming to buy the books. With that, we are in conversation with Midstate, and we will be able to offer three $1,000 scholarships for next school year. And so we are thrilled to be able to support Midstate, and we love the fact that the scholarships that we are sponsoring are specifically for non-traditional students. So people that are maybe going back to school to learn a new trade, or those that maybe have dropped out of school at one point and want to go back and finish up. It's for those students who financially may need the help to be able to do that.
That impacts our whole world. You know, I mean, it really does. Just take for an example, because it's a wide range of people this can affect. But you bring up a person going back to school. That will more than likely be a parent, or oftentimes a single parent.
Exactly.
That is a person who is going to better themselves, get a better job, put better into the community, makes them being able to help take care of their children better, et cetera, et cetera. All these things add up. And it goes so much farther than I think we could even realize or put into words sometimes. And that's if you guys were able to do one scholarship. Three scholarships.
Three.
I don't know what number I expected, Beth. I didn't expect one that big. That is awesome. Shout out to this community, to all of you guys at the Moravian Church, getting all this going. Nice work.
Well, especially after last year when we were still just trying to make up from being in the pandemic, and mm-hmm. we were only able to give away one $500 scholarship. And that disappointed us. So mm-hmm. we are thrilled to be able to bounce back this year so well and offer so much to, you know, three individuals who are looking to better themselves.
I appreciate the update on this. I appreciate what you guys are doing and already looking forward to next year. Mm-hmm. I know that my mom is looking forward to it. I know there's plenty of people in the community already looking forward to that event. So we'll talk more about it as we get closer to it. We are right around the corner to Christmas.
We are.
And there are plenty of big and fun things to look forward to around Christmas and this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also can be a very difficult time of year.
Yes.
I know that, and I only bring this up, one, because Beth is a very good friend of mine, and also because you've shared this before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a time of year that hits you really close to home.
It does. It's a bittersweet time of year, and I love to use that. You know, the song says it's the most wonderful time of the year, mm-hmm. but that's not always the case for everybody. You've experienced a loss this year. I've experienced losses in my life. It's been 15 and 12 consecutively with my mom and my sister. Mm-hmm. And so coming to Christmas Day or the holidays that we would traditionally celebrate with them, there's something missing. There's grief that surrounds even the joy of being with the family that we do have with us. And so we want to recognize that it's okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have grief. It's okay to be struggling in this time of year, because just because the calendar changes or the time of year changes doesn't mean our life situation always changes. So we want to have an opportunity for the community to come together and recognize that, to say, this hurts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, as always, for sharing. I appreciate you so much, love you so much, and appreciate what you do. I don't want to celebrate Christmas this year.
Right.
I'll be honest with everybody. I don't really care. I don't really want it. It's December 25th. It's just mm-hmm. a day. I just got, in the last handful of years, I just started to get into Christmas.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of bad memories tied to it, and I just started to get into it, and I haven't really addressed this too much on the air, but my grandfather, my papa, passed away in the last couple of weeks. And this was always a really important time of year to him and his mm-hmm. family. He loved the holiday, but what he really loved is that it brought all the family together and all those things. And yeah, I'm not the only one feeling this. My mom and dad are in a similar place mm-hmm. and other relatives of mine. And one of the things that we realized in this is, We were open and we were honest with it, because at first we were so afraid to bring anybody else down.
Right.
It was a big concern with this. And I think that it's something that we don't really think about when it comes to this subject matter of a blue Christmas, of a melancholy Christmas, mm-hmm. if you will. The idea of, and especially us in the Midwest and the way we handle things.
Right.
We don't want to bother anybody. We don't want to put our problems on somebody else, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the world is built on, and that's what this time of year is about,
right.
is leaning on each other, is being there for each other, right?
It's interesting that especially in the Midwest, mm-hmm. we're all about helping each other, and we love the feeling of being able to help somebody out. And then we don't think to ask for the help. And yeah. then I had to say this to my mom as she was dying as well, because she felt guilty about having us help her in those last weeks. And I looked at her, I said, Mom, you know that feeling you get when you help others? She said, yeah. I said, do you realize you deny others that feeling when you don't let them help you? And that's something that we need to remember, is that when we ask for help, we're allowing the other person to feel what we feel when we are the ones helping.
Took me into my 40s to realize that. I hate admitting that, but it really did. It took so long. I used to just mm-hmm. never ask anybody for anything, all of that stuff, and think I was doing right by people, when really I've been holding back, and I've been depriving my friends and family, the people that mean the most to me, having the feeling that I get when I help them.
Yep.
It's so Midwest. It really is. And I love that about us. I love that about our people.
Right.
It's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing necessarily, but it's also one of those things that, hey, we're all getting older. It's important to grow as a human mm-hmm. being and realize that actually the strongest thing you can do in life is leaning on each other, is
right.
being there for each other.
We were brought into community. We were created into community. Mm-hmm. And so we need to rely on community. being pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps is a double-edged sword. It's good to have the motivation to try to do things as best you can, but there's a reality that we can't do everything on our own. Mm-hmm. And to have people there to surround you, to support you, to love you through it is a wonderful thing. And that's one of the reasons why we want to offer this worship service. Mm-hmm. And the Blue Christmas service started from our congregation. It's something I brought with me from my previous parish that I really appreciated. And I'm thrilled that now our Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, our grace group, has taken this on as a community effort. So it's not just our church, even though it will be held at the Moravian Church this year on December 20th at 6 p.m. That's a Wednesday evening, so don't look for us on a Sunday. It's a Wednesday evening, December 20th at 6 p.m. But the at least two other churches, the Port Edwards United Methodist Church and Grace Lutheran Church here in town, will also be participating in that. So we are thrilled that this is going to be able to expand and hopefully reach even more people. It's wonderful. We've got several of our funeral homes in town that do special services for families that they've served throughout the year. Sometimes that's not always a convenient time or the right place. So if you're looking for another opportunity, we hope that you will consider joining us for this one.
Are there other are there other things a part of this event that we should let people know about?
Yes, if you would like to bring some type of a symbol of what you're struggling. Now, for me, it's the loss of loved ones that I wish would be here to celebrate with. So I will be bringing a picture of both my mother and my sister. We encourage you, if it's financial, if there's something health-wise, if there's a symbol that you have, during the worship service, there'll be an opportunity to come forward and put that on a table and light a candle to represent that you're lifting that up to God. We're not going to keep them. You will be able to take them back with you at the end of the service. But it's an opportunity to have a little bit of a ritual with it, because when you can tie something physical with the feeling, it helps you to process it a little bit more. So we want to offer that opportunity as well.
Our brains like routine. The human brain loves routine from day one to the end of days. It's the way our brains work. And traditions are very routine-based. And creating a new tradition like something like this is a great way to keep that person in your holidays, in your spirits, in your memories, in your mind, bringing them with you for future holidays and for future generations, for younger people that maybe didn't get to experience them and stuff, to be able to have a chance to get to know them a little bit more. It's a great window into that.
Right. And for me, I was blessed that both of my mom and my sister had a symbol that they loved. So my mom collected frogs. So for her, it stood for fully rely on God.
Oh, gosh, that's good.
So,
wow, is that good?
She had probably 1,500 different types of frogs by the time she died that we were able to give to people at her funeral, that they were able to take a piece of her with her. And so I have frog ornaments that I put up on my tree every year. And so mom's there. My sister loved pigs. She loved the cute little barnyard pig kind of thing. So I have a pig ornament that I put on my tree. So there are symbols that we have in our homes that allow us to keep that person alive with us. And for me, when the Bible says love never ends, it's something, just because the person we know and love is no longer present with us, doesn't mean that we don't still love them. And it doesn't mean that we don't still feel the love they had for us. That's what it means when love never ends.
Well said. With an event like this, too, it's a great opportunity to not be alone, to not feel alone, to understand that you're not alone in this, and that other people are struggling. I think that it's one of the greater gifts we can give to each other is leaning on each other in these moments and being there, but also sharing of these things. It's so brave and so incredibly beautiful to see somebody share things like you just did, or that you're able to be a part of that and understand that your pain, while it is yours and you deserve to feel all your feelings, that you are not alone, to give a little perspective to this too and stuff. And I think that as human beings, we need that at times. And here's an opportunity for that. I also don't want to skate past the idea of multiple churches coming together. I will never normalize this. That's beautiful. That's incredible. And it makes our community that much stronger, our faith that much stronger, our people that much stronger. Mm-hmm. A rising tide raises all boats, right. And that's what this does. I really commend all of you for working together and coming together. That's not something that I grew up with or I grew up around. And I'm so thankful to see this day and age where that's where we're going as a society, where it isn't that way anymore. Right. You know?
Choose to focus on what we share in common, which is our belief in God. Yeah. And that's what we choose to live out.
That's a very, very beautiful and unique thing. Mm-hmm. Beth, when again? What are the details of the event again?
Again, it's going to be Wednesday, December 20th at 6 p.m. It's going to be held at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South. It's on the corner of 1st and Goggins and 3rd and Goggins. So come on in. We will... be glad to welcome you into the warmth. In addition to bringing a symbol with you and being able to light a candle, if you choose, there will be people that are off to the side of the sanctuary that you can go to if you would just like a private prayer with somebody to kind of just uphold you and support you in that time as well.
It's a really nice thing to offer. Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea. I usually in this, we used to have a break. And I would take it right now because I need it. I need to clear my eyes and everything. But I want to keep moving because we got good other stuff to talk about and other great things going on over at the Moravian Church. And you have a Christmas caroling coming up on Sunday. That sounds fun.
We do. And actually, our children's Christmas program will be a part of our worship experience this Sunday as well. Cool. So if you like to see little ones telling you a little bit more about the Christmas story, this is the week to come. Or join us online. We live stream on YouTube and at our station, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. We also have a Zoom link, so you can come to our website at wrmoravian.org and click that and join us that way. And then following worship, we'll have a little reception. And at 1:45, we'll be doing some Christmas caroling. And we have found that it has worked really well because of the age of our congregation and knowing that the weather doesn't always cooperate with us to go out and about. We do it via cell phone.
Oh.
So we will gather in our social room around a couple of tables. We'll call some of our shut-ins or people that we know and love that we want to share this with and put the cell phone on speaker in front of us and we'll sing Christmas carols over the phone
to
our shut-ins and those that are in our nursing care facilities.
That's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea. I haven't heard of anything like that before. I love that.
We started doing that with COVID, not knowing because a lot of the nursing facilities weren't allowing people in. Mm-hmm. So this was our way of being able to stay connected, even though we weren't physically able to be together.
Beth, if people are just hearing about this and they would like to be a part of it,
Join us. Right on. The more the merrier. Mm-hmm.
especially, you might need better singers to drown out people like me. It might be a good idea.
Remember, it says make a joyful noise. It didn't say it had to be any good.
That's true. It's true. That is an important detail of it. No. That's going to be a lot of fun. How about if somebody would like to be on your list as far as like person that you to call?
Give us a phone call or shoot us an email and let us know and make sure that you give us the contact information. We would be glad to add them to those that were, or if you're there, you say, hey, let's call. If you've got their number, we'll give them a call.
We'll give you the contact information before we wrap up today. Mm-hmm. But I do want to go on to something else. And this is kind of interesting. This came up. You mentioned your mom loved frogs. You mentioned your sister loved pigs. Mm-hmm. And I immediately thought of like how many of those frogs did you buy your mom? You know, like how many came from you and stuff? Because I know my mother is like this with Coca-Cola items.
Yep.
And out of all the thousands of items she has, at least 25% are from me, like for birthdays and stuff. Mm-hmm. The other things I got her were poinsettias. My dad got her a poinsettia for Christmas when I was a kid, and like for the next like 20 Christmases, I got her poinsettias because they're a great plant. She likes it, and it's the Christmas plant,
it
really.
Is.
And you guys are doing something really unique with poinsettias.
Oh, every year we invite members of the congregation to provide a poinsettia in our church sanctuary to help decorate, and then on Christmas Eve we list who they are in memory or in honor of. So if you would like to help decorate the front of our sanctuary with a poinsettia. You just drop it by the church. You let us know who it's in memory and in honor of, and it will be placed in our sanctuary. And then after Christmas Eve, after the Christmas season, you are welcome to take it home or maybe give it to the person. If it's in honor of someone, give it to them or place it someplace that will allow you to remember who it's in honor or memory of.
It's a beautiful way to keep that memory going and to honor that person. Mm-hmm. And especially with a plant and something living and breathing, something mm-hmm. some beautiful as a poinsettia, you know, yeah. is a really nice combination right there. I really like that.
We have some members who are able to keep them going year round, which I really appreciate because I am not able to do that.
Yeah, you and me both. Yeah. Shout out to those people. Those are great. Mm-hmm. They got a whole green hand, not just a green thumb. They got... You guys also have stars available, Moravian stars available for purchase as well.
So the Moravian star is a different type of Christmas star. Mm-hmm. It's also known as the Star of Bethlehem if you see them in like Walmart or other stores.
I knew that because Beth taught me that. I want to brag for a second. I actually knew that.
It's a star that has 26 points, not like a traditional five-pointed star. Mm-hmm. And it was originally created as a geometry project because the base of each of the points is either a square or a triangle. And you have to know mm-hmm. how many squares or triangles and what configuration to put it together.
Oh, is that
cool? it is a traditional symbol for the Moravian Church. We put it up usually for the first Sunday of Advent, mm-hmm. Which is... sometimes the Sunday after Thanksgiving, sometimes not, but it's always the fourth Sunday before Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Heard you guys talking about it.
Yeah.
I was very proud. You guys got that right. So it's just a beautiful star that you can put up. We have some that are tree toppers so that you can use that for your Christmas tree indoors, mm-hmm. or we've got some larger ones that you can hang on your porch or in your window. This past summer, I was privileged enough to be able to go to Herrenhut, Germany, which is where mm-hmm. the star factory is.
Oh, wow.
And purchase some original stars from the factory that cool. aren't just white. That's traditionally what we think of and mm-hmm. what we sell at the church. But I have a green one. Mm-hmm. I have a blue one that I just put together because that's the color of the Advent season. I got a purple one. I got nice. Some smaller ones. I got some bigger ones. So they come in all shapes and sizes. We have two at the church currently that we would be glad to let you come purchase or peruse. We also have them available on Saturday mornings at the Winter's Farmers Market. Mm. So you can always buy them there as well.
And a perfect segue to get into the Winter's Farmers Market. But we do want to encourage you to go to WRMoravian.org to find out more about some of these things that we've talked about here. Again, WRMoravian.org. You can go under activities and find a list of everything that Beth mm-hmm. and I were just going over. But let's touch on the Winter Farmers Market. It is running strong. I've heard nothing but good things. And every time I pass you guys on a Saturday, the church, it is packed over there.
It is. And it's been going since the middle of October. We will wrap up this part of the season on Saturday, December 16th. So we've only got two more opportunities. No, just one more. Just this coming Saturday is our last chance in this calendar year. Right. I'll put it that way. We do start up our season again in January. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to come back. I believe it's that first Saturday in January, which is... got my calendar in front of me, January 6th.
You got it before me. I was trying to race it.
You can join us then, but we are taking both Christmas weekend and New Year's weekend off. So this coming Saturday, if you're looking to join us, this past Saturday we had Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus with us. We had all of our vendor space rented. It was a full basement. It was a joyous time. Mm. We had a live pianist for some of it.
Nice.
So it just was a wonderful sense of community and feeling, and we're hoping to carry it through this week. So come check us out again.
I know that there's a number of people out there that are always looking for things to do mm-hmm. this time of year, especially as it gets colder out and we get more snow and everything. It's great to have something like this, a community welcoming event. It's free. Everybody can come. Doesn't matter who you are, what age or anything. Mm-hmm. That part of it is really fun. It's also this time of year, people scrambling, like, I don't want to get the same old for somebody. I don't want to get my mother another Coca-Cola item. I want to think of something different. You go to the farmer's market, you're going to have a plethora of things to choose from and stuff. It actually might make it even harder for you to figure out, now I got too many options. It's a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
And you can know that when you do something like that and you're purchasing those items, you are helping our ag industry, you're helping our vendor industry, our people out there that... every penny counts. Mm-hmm. And this is such a great opportunity for them to be able to have this. We didn't always have a winter's farmers right. market. So appreciating even just having it, let yeah. alone what we're able to do for our great vendors out mm-hmm. there, the great workers out there.
So it starts at 9 a.m., mm-hmm. goes to 1 p.m. We also sell some food. We've got some egg rolls, mm-hmm. A vendor that sells egg rolls. I think the fry pies are coming back.
Nice.
The tamales mm-hmm. might be there. So there are cookies that are sold. So it's a wonderful, different, various spices and apple cider and all sorts of things that are being sold there. So come check it out.
And spread the word about the Winter's mm-hmm. Farmers Market. We all know that word of mouth is the greatest advertiser of all. Spread the word. Let people know about this. The market's been around long enough, but I still think it is relatively new enough to where not everybody might have heard yes. about it yet. So spread the word about this. Mm-hmm. Encourage people to check it out, and especially if you happen to know a vendor out there, because
yes.
You guys are still taking vendors,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. We have some that will do it for a month, some that will do it for the season, and some that do it week by week. So, you know, if you're a vendor and you're not quite sure if you want to commit, come one Saturday. Commit to one Saturday and see what we offer, and then maybe you'll consider joining us more often.
Mm-hmm. We'll give you that information, how to contact Beth and the team over there in just a moment, because I did want to make some time for just a couple of other events that you guys mm-hmm. do. The Moravian Women, you guys meet. You guys are meeting coming up here? You have
yes,
a meeting
we our Moravian Women group meets once a month. Usually mm-hmm. it's the third Wednesday, and for December they're doing their holiday gathering, so they meet an hour earlier. They'll meet at noon, and they bring finger food and just spend some time in Bible study and in fellowship.
I love finger food. It sounds like a really nice moment, a nice chance to mm-hmm. come together and some more camaraderie.
Yes, absolutely.
And Friday morning breakfast Bible studies.
Yes.
This is awesome. I don't know if we've talked about this before.
Yeah, every Friday morning at 9 o'clock, so it's a later breakfast. We usually have some type of a pastry that we'll share, but we're studying a book which is called The Way of Solomon.
Yeah.
And it's a Jewish rabbi who has translated the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's more the intent. It's not a word for word
yes.
literal translation, but it's by author Rami Shapiro. And it's one that I came across when I was in seminary and found very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes at it more from a Taoist perspective mm-hmm. and how, you know, we often think of it as vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And it really is more of an emptiness. And mm-hmm. if something's empty, then there's the opportunity for it to be filled. So it's just a different perspective on that book. So if you'd like to join us, that is open to anybody who would like to come at 9 a.m. on Friday mornings.
I think of the Tao Pu and some of those mm-hmm. books and how they kind of got people a different way of helping people learn more about a subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
This book really does that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that my mom gives me tons of books to read, but only certain books you have to read. Like, I'm going to get a book report from her on and stuff. This
right.
was one of them.
Oh, really?
This was
Good.
One of those books, and I'm so thankful that she did too.
Mm-hmm.
While it was a long time ago, it still impacts. It still hits you. For me, even just thinking about mm-hmm. it when you were talking about it and everything, I could immediately be brought back to that and some of the teachings, some of the lessons that I learned from it.
And we've had some wonderfully rich theological conversation around the table.
I bet.
Just been wonderful to hear different perspectives on it and what it means for each one of us.
If people want to be a part of this or learn more about any of the great things you guys are doing over there, Beth, how can they get in touch with you?
You can give us a call at the church office at 715-423-0180. You can email me, wrmcpastor@gmail.com. You can check out our website, wrmoravian.org. Or you can always catch us online if you'd like to see and experience some of our worship services. Once we live stream, we keep it up on our channel. So you can go to YouTube and look up Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church.
Thank you for pitch hitting today. Thank you for filling in. We appreciate that. And always appreciate the time for you, Beth. You take care. We'll talk again real soon.
You as well. Thanks for having me.
Well, a more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.